move. Put the rock in the booth, he'll get you buzzing quicker than a shot of.
Big Joe Klein in the Zone is brought to you by Corky's Barbecue. Corky's full-service catering starts at just $6.25 per person. Your guests will love the food, and you'll love the price and service. Just give us a call. We'll customize a menu for you and your guests. In Little Rock, call 501-954-RIBS. And in North Little Rock, call 501-753-3737. And remember, if it ain't Corky's, it's sh**. Now, here's Big Joe Klein.
That is awesome! That was Matt the way.
Oh, no, you didn't.
Big Baby says, you wanna hear this? I'm like, just do what you do, man. It's my boy.
He said that a few weeks ago when he brought it in. It was
he
hilarious.
He said he was going to do it. I said, you ain't doing that.
I love it.
Hi, Joe.
And that guy, who does those?
Shotgun. That's our buddy out in California.
Man, he sounds.
He's good, isn't he?
He sounds so professional.
Uh-huh.
You know, and you got this professional.
Yeah. Oh, I put on.
You should have heard his commentary before he recorded it. He thought it was a joke.
We've sent him all kinds of stupid stuff over the years. He's read all kind of nonsense from us over the years, I promise you. Good to see you, man.
Sounds so professional, and then right at the end, it's like, beep.
I loved it.
You're as red as the barbecue sauce over at Corky's. I like that. How are you, man?
I'm good.
Congratulations, Joe and his partner. The big win over the weekend. We had a battle of UALR coaches this week in the
four-ball.
On Friday,
Joe Foley. Yeah.
Did he really?
Civil War.
Nice.
Civil War.
He started the trash talking about noon the day before.
Were you guys in the same fight?
Yeah.
Oh, okay,
yeah,
cool.
They paired us the first day.
Oh,
Civil
sweet.
War. So.
Yeah.
It's like the NIT, you know. Part Arkansas.
You still want to win.
You know, you still want to win, but, you know, they can match you up to make it interesting. Mm-hmm. You know? So it was good.
Good to have you in, my man.
Good to be here.
Yeah.
Good to be here.
So you like his open for you better than mine, huh? There's nothing of you singing on this
yes,
open.
Yes, it's a little, the end, I don't know, we'll see how Mama and Tommy and Carla.
It's a little edgy.
But I like it, it's a little edgy.
Well, you're an edgy
it's
guy.
It's hilarious, I love it.
Before we talk about the matchup tonight with a pivotal game three, isn't that the word we used earlier?
Pivotal.
Yeah. It's huge.
You made up some other word, I think. I like that. But
I used a word that it made sense to me.
It was a combination. She combined two words. I like it.
It's a combo word.
But before we do that, there's a lot of coaching news going on, Joe, and I want to ask you about that. Looks like Mo Cheeks may get the Pistons job. Lionel Hollins out for Miami, and that's a guy that I know you have near and dear to your heart, which it
from
surprised
Memphis,
a lot of us, right?
Miami.
I'm sorry, from Memphis, yes. Yep. Memphis would love to have him, I bet. And then Jason Kidd with the Nets, potentially. Apparently he's interviewed there. So what do you think about all that?
Well, first of all, I mean, Detroit. They're just trying to find an identity. I mean, so I think this is their third or fourth coach since '08. So I mean, they're trying to figure it out and get it right. I think Mo's a great coach. I mean, he's got that. He's very respected. Has that good demeanor, you know. Where I mean, he's not going to be. You know, and I think you really have to have it these days because it's just such a long season. You can't be you can't be on them and grinding them all the time. I mean, you got to be able to get on them and coach them. And thanks, Chris. And be consistent, but you know, you got to be calm with your delivery because after a while, if you're screaming for 8 months at somebody, you're gonna get tuned out. And so I think Mo's a good one. I don't get, like everybody, I don't get Memphis. I mean, I don't understand that. But, I mean, you got new ownership in there. You got, you know, they moved the GM around. They've moved some things around the front office. You know, it's a new guy coming in. Lionel was in the last year of his deal. He did a good, really great job. He's a great coach, and he doesn't fit the plans, you know, and that's the owner's right. I mean, I don't understand it. I don't know if there's usually, you know, there's so much more that goes on. You know, it's not just on the floor stuff. And, you know, you got to, you know, in drafts and meetings and all these things where you're with your owner, with your GM, with all these people. Maybe there was a rub. Maybe there was, I don't know, maybe they've got somebody, they had somebody else targeted since, you know, last summer, but didn't want to. You know, I don't know. There's a lot of things that go into that decision that aren't just basketball. But when you look at it strictly from a basketball, what the job he did and the way his team played, it's hard. It's a, you know, it just doesn't make sense.
Everything we looked at was peripheral, of course. We don't know exactly what goes on, but it was what I got from reading the comments was, they said, sure, it's okay if you talk to other teams. And he was saying, well, I don't want to go anywhere else. So I was trying to figure that all out. And again, maybe it's a numbers issue. Maybe he was asking for a raise.
I mean, yeah.
He deserves one. But
I mean, he might have – they didn't want to pay him. I mean, there's maybe, you know, they've got financial issues. I mean, there's so many things that right. you don't know about that, you know.
Everybody has to start somewhere, and certainly Lionel's way past that. Jason Kidd potentially is a head coach, not an assistant coach, not a college head coach, an NBA head coach right out of the gate. He's been around forever. I mean, I think it was Popovich spoke up for him and said, hey, look, he's seen every system. He's been in the league forever. There's nothing that's going to surprise the guy. He knows exactly what, you know, goes on. What about a guy with no experience being a head coach immediately?
Oh, I don't have a problem with it at all, especially if it's Jason Kidd. Mm-hmm. But now, I mean – you can bet there'll be three guys sitting next to him that've got a lot of experience.
Right.
I can promise you that. And I think that's a good – I think that's good. I mean, you know, you look at a guy like Spoelstra. I mean, it's the same thing. I mean, only, you know, they've taken different paths. Spoelstra worked his way up as a coach, as a video coach, as everything, and he was around all these people for 20 years. They gave him the job. You know, he's got Ronnie Rothstein to his left, who's a – legendary longtime coach, got McAdoo to his right, you know, who's been there and seen everything. So, you know, now he's kind of, I mean, you know, I don't want to say it to where he's kind of like the front man. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so, but that's kind of what a coach is. I mean, you get all this knowledge, and in the NBA, it's so critical how you deliver it, how you are every day, you know, how you present yourself to your team. Are you calm? Are you confident? Are you consistent? You know, those are the things you have to be. I think in any level as a coach, you got to be calm. You got to be confident. You got to be consistent with your message to where,
write that down.
And you know, and it, and
that's
it,
a good one.
And at the end of the day, I mean, you know, again, there's going to be times where you got to you got to turn it up a little bit, you know, and there's going to be times where you got to have some levity, you know, but you can't go, especially in the NBA, and I think even so more so in college, you just can't punch them in the mouth.
Can't beat them all the time.
Because it's just, kids are different. You know, it's not the same way it was years ago where your Bobby Knights and all these guys can you know, grind you and holler at you. You know, it's just different.
Did you ever have an NBA coach that did that? As far as try to grind on you guys like that all the time?
My first year in Sacramento, we had a guy, Phil Johnson, great coach, came from Dick Motta School with the Bulls and the Mavericks. But he was, I mean, he wasn't a yeller and a screamer. I mean, he was, you know, he'd push you hard.
Does that work when you're talking to grown men, yelling and the screaming?
No,
I don't think that
does it work at your house?
Yelling and screaming? That doesn't really happen very often.
Okay.
No, I don't think so.
Didn't work at
I don't
my
think
house.
So either.
No, I mean, I think there's like once or twice a year, if you got a team and you're trying to get their attention or something, you may have to go cuckoo. But I mean, you can't. It can't be like when you do it, it's got to kind of be a shock. It's got to be, if you're going to do
once
that,
in a while.
It's got to be a shock treatment. Like,
yeah.
Man, we must be really messing up. But because if you're doing it once a week, it's going to be like, oh, here we go. He's going to throw the chair again.
Yeah.
You know, somebody.
Yeah.
I mean, it has no effect.
Right.
It has no effect. And I think, you know, especially in the NBA, you know, they're grown men. You know, they're in a job, and it's like, and the NBA is like all of them. It's like you sit there, and you can tell them, say, look, man, we're in it to win. You know, if we don't win, I'm getting fired. So if you're not giving me what I want, you know, I'm not going to sit there and, you know, be, you know, try to accommodate you and make you happy and lose all these games so I can get fired.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm going to move on to plan B if you're not going to give me what I want.
Right.
You know, and you have to convey that in a manner to where all your team buys in to where, you know, and that's what the Spurs got. And that's what Miami's
I was just
going to
say that.
I mean,
they work together so well. It's almost like you don't even need the coach on that team. Like, and they're so tight knit.
It comes from your best players.
Exactly.
When your best players buy in and you allow them, they allow you to coach. Because let me tell you right now, if LeBron James didn't want Spoelstra to coach him, Spoelstra would be gone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he, you know, it's a players' league.
Like Vinny Del Negro's not in
LA
anymore.
Absolutely.
Well, what about
it might be a little bit of what happened in Memphis. I don't know. I mean, you don't know.
There's a lot of really good coaches that don't have jobs right now. When I think about, I think Del Negro's a good coach. I don't know anything, but I mean, you got George Karl, PJ Carlissimo, Vinny Del Negro. Do we already mention him? I guess, but yeah. I mean, now Lionel Hollins too. I mean, you got some really good coaches hanging around out there, and Phil Jackson, you don't think is coming back?
Not as a coach.
Okay,
I'd be. The only place I think he'd come back is to the Lakers. You know, if somehow his fiance Jeannie Buss gets control, or her and her brother are, I guess, own the team and he's running it. I think if she ran it, you know, and she needed a coach,
she would make that call.
He's got 11 rings. And he's hot, and he's sleeping in the same bed with her.
That's awkward. And when she wakes up, she's like,
"What
are you doing, honey? I'm just trying to. I gotta hire a new coach. Is Mike D'Antoni's not working? I just can't think of anyone."
Would you come coach for me, honey? No, I really don't want to coach. Okay.
Yeah, you're right.
Get a little quiet and cold all of a sudden.
Okay, what if Miami falls short? What if Miami loses to San Antonio and they do something with Spoelstra? Which I don't think they would. But just theoretically, if you're Phil Jackson, don't you take the opportunity to coach three of the best players ever?
That would never happen. You know why?
Why?
Who's the boss of Miami?
Pat Riley.
Can you see Pat Riley telling Phil Jackson what to do?
Yeah, that wouldn't go well. Good point. That'd be worse.
There's not enough room in the American Airlines Arena for them two guys.
That's probably true. All right, well, tonight is a big game, statistically speaking, and we also want to welcome in Chris Cromwell from Tropical Smoothie Cafe. Hi, Chris.
Hey, what's happening?
I'm good, man. I'm feeling a lot better. Does this have lime?
It is brand new kale lemonade.
Kale lemonade?
Is this what we had the last time?
No. This is a kale lemonade. The other one was an island green. It had kale and spinach, banana, pineapple, and
now explain
mango.
To me kale again.
Kale is like...
I got a friend named Randy Kale.
It's a vegetable.
It's like lettuce on steroids.
Spinachy lettuce.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No wonder we're not familiar with it.
More body thickness. It's like the vegetable right now getting all the, you know, pub because it's just loaded with nutrition.
Joe's body is built by pulled pork sandwiches, not kale.
Well, you know, you got.
How about barley? Is barley a hops? Is that a?
If it is, I'm in good shape too.
Because I know Justin and I this weekend. That's a new
food group.
My blood type. What are you talking about? So what's good?
Well, you'd be surprised. I mean, people that go in, if you watch us make this, you've never seen it before. I think they'd be shocked how much kale we actually put in it. But then when you taste it, I mean, it doesn't.
I can tell you right now, watching you make it, you probably sit there and go, "There is no way I'm going to drink that."
Right, right. I mean,
there's
first time
no
we made
way
it.
You're going to put that in my body.
Even me with the
taste
test,
it,
yeah,
taste
I was like,
it,
"No way."
Good.
And then you put in a little bit of lemonade, mm-hmm. and then half a banana, and boom, there's your kale banana.
Do you
lemonade
have one
smoothie?
Is there a Tropical Smoothie Cafe in San Antonio?
There is not. Okay. Just Austin right now in Texas.
What about
Houston.
Miami?
Oh, yeah. There's plenty in Miami.
Okay, I'm saying, well, they could get them before games next time they play over there.
That's right.
They're getting ready for the game. I got a little bit of a brain freeze now, so I'm going to try to remember my question for you, Joe. Tonight is a pivotal game three. That's what it was. Pivotal. Not must win, but pivotal. Statistically speaking, it may be a must win. I will not recount the stat again.
He'll be the divide. Who's going to win tonight?
Well, Justin? but here's the thing. I want to give my stat one more time because I think this is a great stat. In a game in a 2-3-2 situation, so in the finals, obviously, the last several times this happened, after going 1-1, the team that won Game 3 is 12-1 in the series. So they've won 12 out of 13. The only team that won the lost Game 3 after going 1-1 in the first two games and then won the series was Dallas when they beat Miami. So maybe it's not as important if Miami's playing in the series, but generally speaking, it is. So San Antonio moves home. They're favored by 2,
which just shocked me.
I didn't think it was that surprising, but what do I know? So all that being said, San Antonio's first game on their home court in the finals, at least in recent history. What do you think?
I like San Antonio tonight.
Yes,
I mean,
Big Joe.
But I think it's going to be I think it's going to be tight.
I real, do too, real, but I like tight. I like where your head's at.
It's going to be a play at the end of the game, but I don't know what in game two, and they got destroyed. But ooh. Ginobili, Duncan, and Parker, I don't know what they. Somebody said they shot like 6 for 38 or something. It was. I don't know if it was that bad.
It wasn't that bad because we looked at the numbers. They were 50% as a team from three.
But I think those three had bad numbers.
Yeah.
I mean,
and they talked about it. I thought they oversold it a little bit. Ginobili wasn't very good. Parker's numbers were not terrible.
I think again the whole key. Like I know Duncan was 3 for 11 from the floor. So, I mean, that's where you know Parker and he. I mean, Ginobili's a wild card, but I think as you saw, they're very vulnerable in the center. You know, in the power forward position, Miami is, as you saw in the Indiana game and in the Indiana series. And then Parker, you know, is supposedly, I mean, and is a top five point guard. Mm-hmm. So he has to have the same type presence as LeBron does. I felt that he has to have the effect against Miami that LeBron has the effect against the Spurs to kind of, you know, because nobody can match up with LeBron, but when Tony Parker's going, he's every bit as difficult a matchup, mm-hmm. you know. And so I think the wild card is, you know, the middle, Bosch, you know, and then, you know, Wade's on one leg, and then Ginobili, they're those two guys are also wild cards, but, you know, you got Bosch and the inside play of Miami versus Tim Duncan and Splitter. And you would think that, not so much Splitter, but you would think that Duncan could really impact it. And he didn't have any impact in game three at all. He has to have a huge impact every night, as well as Parker does for them. They can't be average, you know.
Tony was great in game one, obviously, with the buzzer beater.
Exactly.
And his ex-wife has been pretty active on Twitter. We know she's a big Spurs fan, despite the fact that she and Tony are no longer together. She tweeted out, "Go Spurs, go. I say Spurs in five." The funny thing that came out of that was that Dick Vitale tweeted her back and said, "Your ex is awesome, baby, Mr. Clutch." I'm sure she loved getting that tweet from him.
Your ex is awesome.
Your ex is awesome.
Yeah, that...
pretty awkward. I don't know. I don't know if he realized that she may not be rooting for Tony Parker, although she is rooting for the Spurs. I will say this, all of America is watching. That's the good news. They are getting pretty darn good ratings on ABC. The number Thursday was a total audience of 14.1 million viewers. Now, I have to look at how that
is that more compares. Than like all those trashy shows?
Man, I hope so, because it's got to be more than The Bachelorette, I hope.
Or all that like Idols, Voices.
The thing is, the Spurs are much more popular than they were in 07. It says, first game of the NBA Finals shot up by 54% over game one in 2007, the last time they played in the Finals. Game two, total audience not quite as large, 9.96 million. So Christina and I were debating earlier about playing on Saturday versus playing on Sunday. I think if you played it on a Saturday, it would be even less of an audience, but...
Would you watch it more on Saturday than Sunday, you guys, personally?
Absolutely. And
thank
get a group
you.
Together, yeah.
I said that.
Hey, what
not
because you were playing golf.
Right. But like I said, on Saturday and Sunday.
You're not playing golf that late.
This Saturday, well, I was Sunday.
Oh.
Sunday, mine went, I was.
Was it 7?
Oh, I was dying. I'm telling you, I was dying. We got done at 7:30 on that.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. Because we had to start late because we had to wait for them to. They had a match in the morning that went long, so we had to wait.
You should have beaten me 8-7. It would have been a lot easier.
Not good enough. we were very lucky. I mean, we got some. I thought it was Christmas there. You know, we got some gifts
early on.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Speaking of gifts, I want to talk about Father's Day gifts. Chris is a father, so is Joe, and I want to talk to you guys about some items you're looking for, or if you would suggest for others. This is so typical America. I saw this morning on CBSSports.com. They announced today the LVH Superbook released championship odds for the NBA teams next year. They like the Heat to win the 2014. We're not even into game three of the NBA Finals this year. They like the Heat. You can get the Heat at 7-4 right now if you're interested. The Bulls are 7-1, Thunder 9-2, Spurs 7-1.
What about Memphis?
I don't know. I don't see them on there, but I might throw a few bucks on the Bulls with Derrick Rose coming back. If I can get them at 7-1 right now, that might be all right.
Then you can get them more at 7-1, can't you?
So it's 7-1 right now.
I wouldn't bet
anything
wouldn't
right now.
Bet the NBA.
Well, we don't even know how their roster's going to look, so it is a little premature.
I wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole.
You wouldn't put $10 on all those odds?
No. Not since he retired. He hasn't bet on any games.
Betting on basketball is betting on sports is
sports in general.
Well,
basketball is like if you ever check out the, you ought to see the number of games that are 6 to 8 points with a minute to go, and they take everybody out of the game, and old boy comes in there and makes 2 threes or something and cuts it down to, you know, when nobody or somebody gets a layup at the end and it's a 5-point game, or three throws in a three at the end of the game and it ends up at 2, and you're just sitting there going, ain't no way.
This from a college coach who can't bet on games anyway,
right,
so it's easy
right.
for you to make that.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, I lit it up.
She's a degenerate gambler, by the way. So you're talking.
I'm a huge degenerate gambler.
You're not preaching to the choir.
Won huge on horse racing this weekend. I had Palace Malice with Mike Smith on that. 12-1, folks.
Wow.
My husband had a $10 exacta. I had a little money on a cross. And if I would have put Orb in my super, the super paid outrageous.